Dayton may have been the biggest spender, but his primary night gathering was the least lavish, taking place in his campaign office in an Eagan strip mall. Dayton was remarkably subdued about his overwhelming victory and pointed out that he's been through this before when he ran for this very same Senate seat 18 years ago.
I learned in 1982 that if you lose the general election, winning the primary is not a consolation prize. So again, I'm grateful.
Dayton was the clear frontrunner in recent polls and consistently had the highest name recognition among the DFL candidates. He spent the bulk of his money on a massive television advertising blitz, blanketing the airwaves all summer, while the other Democrats largely held off until just before the primary. Many observers say Dayton ran a brilliant campaign, appealing to seniors by shuttling bus tours to Canada to buy cheaper prescription drugs, and running an ad campaign focused on health care and Social Security. After he was declared the victor, Dayton disputed the notion that his Canadian bus trips pandered to the usually strong senior vote.
Anybody with a pollster can identify the Democratic breakdown of a primary electorate. Connecting with real people on the issues they care about is another matter, and you know, we were all striving to do that. I mean, but this was, you know, not a single issue campaign by any means. There was a constellation of issues which I believe focused on the real economic issues of concern to Minnesotans.
Dayton says he'll spend the next 8 weeks of the campaign talking about those issues and how his views differ from Republican Rod Graham's. Dayton wasn't willing to start the debate on primary night, but Graham's wasted no time. He says Dayton has had a free ride for the last couple of months and needs to tell voters how he'll pay for his proposals.
It's all more big government. Big government take control of your Social Security. Big government take care of health care. Big government to take over our education. That's the way Mark Dayton would vote. I'm out there with, of course, talking about leaving control and responsibility and opportunity at home.
Graham's told a couple hundred supporters at a Mall of America bar that Dayton is out of touch with reality. He launched the general election campaign by borrowing a line from pro wrestler The Rock that voters are likely to hear again in the next 2 months.
Mark Dayton, can you smell not what The Rock is cooking, but can you smell what The Rod is cooking tonight?
Graham says he'll likely be outspent by Dayton, a multimillionaire who self-financed his primary campaign, but has said he will raise money from other Democratic contributors for the general election. Dayton pledged to use his wealth to help other DFL candidates in November and had said if he lost the primary, he would help the winner financially. His closest Senate competitor, Mike Cerisi, wasn't quite as generous. The Minneapolis trial lawyer, who got 22% of the vote, urged his supporters to unite behind Dayton, but says he won't be writing Dayton a check.
He doesn't need our money, that's for sure. You know, anybody that spends $6-7 million in 7 weeks doesn't need our money.
But
he needs the vote, and he needs our support, and he needs us working for him, and that's our family will do that. We want to replace Rod Graham's, and that's very, very important.
Cerisi says he still believes he's the best Democrat to challenge Graham's, but says a couple of factors may have led to his second place showing. Cerisi says he shouldn't have let Dayton dominate the airwaves all summer, and he thinks a series of negative emails that have been linked to Graham's campaign staff contributed to his defeat.
Well, of course, when you have this low turnout, you know, I mean, which is another, that's a damning thing on all of us, me included, that we couldn't get more people out to vote. Apparently, we weren't persuasive enough.
An unofficial estimate shows only about 16% of eligible voters cast ballots, the lowest primary turnout since at least 1974. Many observers thought low turnout might lead to a victory for the DFL's endorsed candidate, State Senator Jerry Janovich, but he came in right behind Cerisi with 21% of the vote. Janovich, who campaigned as the only non-millionaire in the race, says the party endorsement can only do so much.
Part of the problem ultimately is that the party currently doesn't have the kinds of resources it should have. And part, the other part of it is that in this race there were people who had a lot of resources. No. And then there was us, and I think we did really well with the resources we had. We did it with hard work, and we did it with grassroots.
Janovich appeared to take his defeat in stride and says he hasn't given much thought to his future plans.
Right now, all I can picture myself doing is finishing this beer.
But Janovich has hinted about a future Senate bid. Fourth-place finisher Rebecca Yanish also hinted she might run for office again. The Twin Cities businesswoman got 15% of the vote and told supporters at a Minneapolis restaurant that she backs Dayton 100%.
I will help Mark in any way I can because the cause we share is great, because he's a good and decent man, and because the need to replace Rod Grams is absolutely clear.
CFL leaders hope that tone of unity continues and that supporters of all the candidates will now get behind Dayton. The four-way contest was generally congenial, with any battles limited to differences over the issues, which analysts say puts Dayton in good shape for the general election. Dayton is the only DFLer who had a slight edge over Grams in the most recent NPR Pioneer Press Care 11 poll. Grams is often considered vulnerable, but State Republican Party Chair Ron Ebensteiner dismissed that analysis as a media-driven myth. He says Grams has solid support among Minnesotans.
They identify with him. He is he's one of them. He grew up on a farm. He's worked all his life. He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and so they can relate to him.
Ebensteiner's comment indicates the tactic Republicans are likely to use against Dayton, portraying him as someone whose personal wealth removes him from the concerns of average Minnesotans. Dayton has spent his entire career in politics battling that image and has tried to turn his money into an advantage by saying he's not beholden to special interests because he doesn't need their money. I'm Laura McCullum, Minnesota Public Radio.